the sparrow. We're going to use the sparrow as an analogy today concerning God's Word. I want you to open your Bibles, if you would, to Psalms 102. You know, there are times, this song was written by David, of course, and he was kind of pouring his heart out. He was showing his humility. Though he was the king, he even pictures himself sometimes as just a little old sparrow. And sometimes you feel that same way, I think. You think, hey, I can't seem to change anything in this world. Well, that's just not quite the case, okay? Our Father is in control. You're a child of God. And hey, I got some good news for you. We're can-do type people. We do make a difference. And we can, with His help and His guidance, do just about whatever we have a desire to do, as long as it is within the framework and the boundaries of His Word. He gave us, He gives us gifts of knowledge and wisdom and talents. Those talents come from Him, and it's important that you utilize them in that way. I suppose one of the reasons that this particular message came to me is at this time some people get a little nervous, and I get a lot of questions about, well, what's going to happen when we're delivered up? Before the false Messiah, and I can hear that quiver in their voice, like, this is scary, this is heavy. Well, hey, that's your moment. That's the moment that you were prepared for, that God prepared you for, was to be His witness and His testimony. So we're going to take the poor little old sparrow, though he's not poor, and we're going to use him. You know what? He's got a place to rest. He's got a house. You know something else? It's all paid for. So never feel too sorry for the sparrow. All right? He's doing pretty good. You know why? He's God's little bird. And God takes care of His own when they have faith in Him. The sparrow has faith in our Father. And I hope you do too. Psalms 102, let's go with it. David is feeling, David, of course, is a prophet, was a prophet. Acts chapter 2 documents that even in the New Testament. And his prophecy, or his way of fortifying your strength, is fantastic. So he humbles himself to bring you this message in part. Psalms 102, verse 1, and it reads, hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Verse 2, hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me in the day when I call, answer me speedily. Well, your Father wants you to leave that part in His hands, but He hears you instantly, and don't you ever forget that. When you call out to the Father, He hears you instantly. But never forget, love and trust Him enough to know He's only going to do what's good for you in the long haul. He doesn't just take one day at a time. He knows what's good for you down the road. As a matter of fact, if one of your little children says, Mama, I pray you'll buy me a rattlesnake to play with. Well, sometimes we wish for things about as dangerous, okay? God knows. Okay, verse 3, for my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned as an hearth. In other words, it seems like my old bones are just charred and there's not much left in them. Have you ever had one of those days where it felt like smoke? You know what smoke does? Have you ever watched it? It's gone. Didn't amount to a hill of beans, just went up like smoke. You ever had a day like that? He's feeling a little low, or at least he's giving this opinion. Okay? 4. My heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. I just have no appetite. It seems like I'm just so carried away with this that I don't feel like eating. Nothing sounds good. I know none of you, I can tell by, well, I better be quiet. have a hard time with that, okay? Five. Whoa. By reason in the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin. Better translated, flesh. My flesh just cleaves to my skin. It just kind of hangs there. I feel bad. Haven't been exercising right, and there's no muscle tone there, and I'm looking pretty bad. But this is a feeling. Understand that. Not looks doesn't have anything to do with anything. It's what you feel like. Okay. If you feel like serving God, you will serve God regardless of what you look like. I mean, look at me. You know, God could have picked a lot more handsome and probably able-bodied. Well, I don't know about that. Come to think, I'm kidding. Okay, I'm strictly teasing. God chooses whoever he will, and hey, that's it. No need to say any more about it. So when he gives gifts, that's it, okay? I mean, look, he picked all of you. And if you look around you, would have you picked everybody in here? I don't know. Well, he did, so we don't question with that. All right, six, I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I'm like an owl of the desert. You don't ever want to quite get to feeling that bad. You know what those two birds are? They're unclean. I mean, they're on God's wanted list for not edible and very unclean, and he created them to kind of clean up the earth, not to eat. Okay. So in as much as it's unclean, he's kind of saying, I just, not only have I lost my appetite, my whole day just went up in smoke. He said, I just feel unclean, feel dirty. I don't know if you can relate to this. I'm trying to just draw it right out so that sometimes we let our minds drift and wander without looking at reality. Okay? I think David's doing this for our benefit. Verse 7, I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. You know, you think about that little tiny skipper. That's what the Hebrew word sparrow means. Just skipping along up there on that housetop all alone. What's the housetop supposed to be for? Watchman. Seems like what I can do amounts to about what that little bird could do. Not only I feel down and I feel dirty. My whole day just went up in smoke. But I feel as helpless and as worthless as far as getting anything done as that little old skipper out there skipping along. Be careful, friend. Everything, even those two unclean birds, God created them for a reason. They have a purpose. Just because they're unclean to you, they are still healthy for the world. Okay, and I'm just telling you, in your life, sometimes you'll come up to a stump, and you're not quite going to understand why things are going as they are. Think, and you think for yourself, and use this as an analogy and apply it to your life. In God's service, all things ultimately work to the good, even the negative, for it has a purpose. And sometimes we have great difficulty in seeing that. And David is really, I could almost say, humiliating himself for a prophet, and he was a prophet, for our benefits. And you know something? We need it, because there's not too many of us that don't have a day like this occasionally. Oh, Lord, I hope none of you have them all the time. That'd be kind of sad. You'd need to get into the Word pretty heavy to get yourself picked up. I just feel like a little old sparrow, a little skipper, a little hopper, skipping around. The word also in the Hebrew kind of means like to and fro. I'm just not getting anything done, okay? Verse 8, mine enemies reproach me all the day, and they that are mad against me are sworn against me. Now, I'm going to tell you what, that's something you want to be real careful of, because when you really do a work for our Father, I guarantee you, you're going to have enemies, okay? And they're going to swear against you. Be lies, yep. But don't let it sting you. Don't get mad. Get even, okay? That's what you do, all right? And God will help you get even, and He always will. And then you're a can-do type person, okay? Hey, we can cut it. We can get it done. Let the world go where it wants to in a basket, all right? We're winners, and we're going to stay that way, okay? Verse 9. For I have eaten ashes like bread. That's just, I've really mourned, all right? And mingled my drink with weeping. I just really have repented and put on the sackcloth and ashes and so forth. 10. Because of thine indignation and thy wrath, for thou hast lifted me up and cast me down. Now, first, I want you to know, Paul is saying something there that's not quite true, okay? When God chooses a man of God, and Paul was a man of God, all the prophets were men of God. New Testament, and there were women prophets. They were women of God. No gender, man of God, okay? God didn't pick all that many of them, and He sent them to us. They're called prophets. That's what the word means. And they speak for God, or God speaks through them. Now, you're going to run across a few today that are going to tell you they're prophets. If I were you, I'd stick with Isaiah. Okay. I would stick with Moses. And I would stick with Ezekiel. Because God has foretold you all things through His prophets, not would-be's, okay? Just a little. That's the way God can yank your chain occasionally. You get wrapped up with traditions that men pile on you, and you're going to go down quick. Learn to think for yourself. Never join a study group that will not allow you to think for yourself or ask questions. That's a cult. Okay. A real teaching ministry will not only teach you to think for yourself, it will show you how to find the tools to go back into the Hebrew and Greek. Like, maybe none of you seem to know what the word sparrow meant, the etymology of it. Well, you should check me out. Okay? Don't just take a man's word for something. I promise you it's true. But how many times have you heard of men standing before a group and say, I promise you? Okay. Well, you better stick to God's promises, okay? And I'm just using that as an example. Think for yourself. God has a purpose and a reason for everything. When you feel He has yanked you up and then threw you down, has thrown you down, we get that good English just bothers me. It's terrible. Boy, I get letters written about that, don't I? Well, God bless all teachers. I love them. All right, they're wonderful. But don't think God has singled you out to give you a hard life. If that's the case, you choose a hard life for yourself because probably you want pity. God didn't want to call His children Lo-Ami. Or rather, He didn't want to call them Lo Ruhamah. I'll get it right here in a moment. My Hebrew is off just a peg today. He wanted to call them Rama, which is mercy. And to love them. Lo is no. Don't love them. They're just pitiful. Okay. So that's what He wants to call His children. He wants to be proud of them. He wants them to have faith in Him. That's what's happening in your life. You ask Him, why is this happening? And figure it out and deal with it. There's a purpose there. And it may be you're just messing up. And you need to figure that out pretty quick, too. You know, hey, if something doesn't work, something went wrong, at least recognize that. Pray about it. Replan whatever it was that went wrong and ask Father's guidance in it and try it again. Because God hates a quitter. And if that doesn't work that time, you better really have a hard look at it. Still, God doesn't like a quitter. And you better kind of say, Lord, if it doesn't work this time, I'm going to know you want me to find a different trail down through here because this one's not working so good. Yes, Lord, I get the message. I'm going a different way. And then he'll bless you. That's life in general. Use that as an analogy in all parts of your life and your day. When you think God has jerked you around, he might be correcting you or he may just want your attention. And it could be a blessing that you haven't seen yet. But the main thing, or I'll miss my mark in teaching, is to know that it's to your good. It's good for you. And thank him for it. Verse 11, my days are like a shadow that declineth, and I am withered like grass. And we're getting a little lower here. The old sun's about to go down, and my day feels the same way. 12, but thou, O Lord, shalt endure forever, and thy remembrance unto all generations. In other words, he's forever. That means this generation today. He knows what he's doing. Man doesn't sometimes. That's what David wants you to know. But God is forever. He is eternal. And you know what? Don't ever forget, he's your father. He's your nearest of kin. So you can count on him. And he will pick you up, straighten out your life, or fix it so that you can, and you'll be blessed. But you've got to realize, he endures forever. Can you endure for 5 minutes? I want it now. Okay, well, be careful. You might get it now. Okay, be calm. Don't let him see you sweat on your first cruise. And work it out with him. Verse 13, thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. Now, there is a time date that is instilled within that, prophetically speaking. The set time was the 70 weeks of Daniel. If you're a student, you know why he stopped reading in the middle of a verse when he went into the temple to teach from the book of Isaiah. Because of the gap theory. Because of the last week of Daniel. And it's talking about that time future when you're going to be delivered up before the spurious Messiah. It is a set time for him. Do we know? No. But I guarantee you that he knows, and he's shaping you and building you toward that set time, for it shall come. And he is training people from his word to be strong and allow him to speak through you, to use you. Verse 14, for thy servants take pleasure in her stores and favor the dust thereof. In other words, the very rebuilders of Zion. Remember when Jesus walked out and his disciples said, look at these buildings. And he said, hey, there's a day coming when one stone won't be left atop another. And so it was. And there wasn't one stone left. There will not be one stone. We're going to rebuild it. Looking forward to it. It will be the temple of God through the true millennium. 15. So the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, revere, love him, every knee will bow, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. This shall be written for the generation to come, your generation, beloved, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. If you were to continue on, and we're not going to, you note that the Messiah message begins with verse 25, 26, 27, and 28 about the restoration and the return of Christ, so that you know we're speaking prophetically far down the road, the part that you have a part in. That's why the sparrow is important to you. Now turn with me to the New Testament, Matthew great book of Matthew. You want to go to chapter 10. I want to pick it up in verse 16. Christ was a teacher that prepared his people whereby they could accomplish what it was he sent them out to do. Well, they wouldn't be failures. They would be successful, can-do type people. Okay? Verse 16 of Matthew chapter 10, he's teaching here to prepare those to go out. And I will tell you, coming out the gate, he's talking to the parable, the generation of the fig tree, which is today. So it's important to you. Verse 16, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Now, what kind of a chance does a sheep, I'll say a lamb, have in a pack of wolves? Now, you that have been around sheep, you know they're about, a lamb is about the helpless. It's next to a human baby as far as helplessness is concerned. But, you see, if you're wiser than the serpent, who does that lamb depend upon to keep it safe? Its shepherd. The shepherd is the only protection that that lamb has, basically. And that's why he says to you, don't forget where your protection is. I'm sending you out there. They'll eat you up. They'll talk about you. They'll ridicule you. But don't forget who takes care of all of it and evens the score. Okay? It's our shepherd. So don't let it frighten you because you're out among a bunch of wolves. You know? They can't bother you when you use common sense. Why? Your shepherd is in charge. Now, why did he say be wiser than the serpent? Well, he gave you power over him, over the serpent, Luke chapter 10, verse 18 and 19. Why should you be afraid of the serpent, but you still got to be wiser than he is because he's going to be setting traps for you, you know? It'll be down the road there, you think, I know their weakness and I know what'll tempt that old boy. I'm going to arrange it for him and see what he will do. And wham, the trap closes. So you got to be smarter than he is and not fall into his traps. And yet you've got to do it peacefully also, see? You got to do it in a way that you can cut his jugular and nobody will notice it. Old Marines have a way of describing things, you know, they're taught every way in the world to do a person in quietly. Well, I'm speaking spiritually, and everyone knows that, see. But then don't forget, once a Marine, always a Marine also. Okay, so anyway, there you got it, okay? So you be peaceful as the dove. I got to tell you something about the little dove if you don't know her. She's coos and sings her little song, and I just love to feed them. You know, they're out in my backyard a lot of the time, just coo. But don't ever mess with her nest. Okay? I said, don't ever mess with her nest, because ounce for ounce, she'll turn into an eagle on you. Okay? And she will tear you up. So you want to stay as Christ has advised you. Okay? Now, verse 17, but beware of men. Hey, that's what will hurt you if you're not careful. Beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And all of you know what this is talking about. It's talking about when you're delivered up to the synagogue of Satan. So we're back to that time again, that set time. What has the sparrow got to do with this? Stick around. And you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, not yours, not somebody else's, for his sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. Translate that word, Gentiles, nations. Should be translated nations. verse 19. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. Do you trust God? Do you have faith in Him? Do you believe He will do that? I do, beyond any shadow of a doubt. I think God has a little... you know what? I'm not going to wager, okay, because I only wager with Marines and sailors. But I would wager that every person in here at one time or the other, when God was preparing the seedbed of our little old minds, and your big one, okay, but there's been a time that you were trapped or cornered, and words just popped right out, and it was an explanation of truth of what really happened, and it got you out of a fix, and you thought, whew, all of you married men know what I'm talking about. Okay. Just those words, I mean, they just popped in there just like that. If there's somebody that's never heard me teach before in here, I apologize. I like to tease to keep people awake a little bit, okay? Or on edge. But it is still the truth, okay? God has a way of putting what you need to know at that moment. Trust Him. It's going to be different even then. Now, really sharpen up for me real good, okay? This is important. Verse 20. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father, which speaketh in you. Now you want to be real careful, or there'll be some fundamentalist will call you practicing monolism, one God. That's all we got is one God, okay? What spirit are you told by Christ in Mark 13 will speak through you besides the Holy Spirit? Well, what did it say here? By the Spirit, which is the Holy Ruach, Kadesh Ruach, of your Father, which speaketh in you. And don't you ever forget it. And don't let some yo-yo twist you away from truth, okay? There I go calling names, but that's what they are, so if the shoe fits, they can wear it, right? Okay, 21. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. Who is death? Satan. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, Jesus said, I came to the earth born of flesh from above to destroy death, which is to say Satan. They're going to be delivered up before Satan, which is death. Why? Because Mama is going to think that this false one is really Jesus, because she went down to that church, oh, by and by we'll fly away, old Jesus. You know, and she's ready to fly. I mean, she's got her bag, spiritual bag, packed any moment. And when the false Messiah shows up, she's going to, in her mind, that's the real Jesus. And your mama loves you. And she's going to go to him and say, Jesus, my daughter's not really a bad girl. She just studies the Bible for herself and she gets a little confused. So will you please go help her? And the spurious Messiah is going to say, glad to. I'll help her. Okay. So this is the only reason a parent or a close loved one would turn you in, because they will think they've asked Jesus to help you. It will happen, my friends. It will happen. And it will happen in this generation. It is written. And it always comes to pass as it is written. Should that worry you? No. He just told you, he'd tell you what to say if it happened. So you don't have to, you don't want to get your loved one, even though they're trading you to the traitoring you to the Antichrist, you don't want to do them in. Just, hey, it's God's plan. He foretold you, right? 22. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Not for robbing a bank, not for doing drugs, not for using marijuana, not for being a fool, does the world hate you, but the world will hate you for my name's sake, because you do the truth. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved, and shall be used by Almighty God, because they have a destiny, a purpose. 23. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come, until the end is here. Well, you know, that time when God's elect are delivered up, it's not going to take long after that. He's returning. You can count on it. Why? We know from Revelation 9, Satan only has a 5-month period. It's been shortened from 3.5 years. 24, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. What does that mean? You're not any better than Jesus. People pick on you. Do you think they didn't pick on him? They talk against you. What do you think the religious community did to Jesus? Send him flowers? No, they wanted to kill him. They hated him. Plotted his death. What's new under the sun? Traditions of men are really bad. I really, if you get steeped in them, it is a sad, sad situation. All Jesus is telling you, I didn't have it so easy. If I were you, I wouldn't plan on having a buggy ride necessarily, okay? 25. It is enough for the disciple. The word disciple, we have the word discipline from it. It means discipline yourself in a teaching. Student is what it means. The student, that is, that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, that's Lord of the dunghill or flies. Okay, if they called Jesus that, and they did, how much more shall they call them of his household? If you're truly of Jesus' household, what do you think they're going to say about you? Well, expect it. But you know what they called him? They called him everything from an illegitimate to worse than I own, and on it goes. Okay? 26. Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. Do you know what this word revealed is in the Greek? It's the apocalypse. Like the apocalypse, Revelation, the book of Revelation. Okay? It means everything's going to be uncovered. God's going to touch minds whereby you're going to understand basically all of God's Word. You're going to have a working knowledge of it, of exactly how it's going down. Because Jesus has foretold you all things in His Word. 27. What I tell you in darkness, that speak you in light. In other words, when you're in this wicked, dark old world where Satan is the power of darkness, what the Spirit speaks to you, you let her out in light, for Christ is light. And what you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. That was the normal place that a proclamation was made, because they didn't have television or loudspeakers, but up there your voice would carry pretty good, see? Or if you're ever up on a house and your neighbor's down there, say, hey! And he'll hear you, basically. All right, that's the way it goes. 28. And fear not them which kill the body. That's your flesh. They can't harm anything but your flesh, but are not able to kill the soul. Did you know your soul could be killed? Do you know what kill means? It means to perish. But rather fear him which is able to destroy. That's the same as the word perdition, meaning to perish, like is passed on Satan. Both soul and body in hell, which is who? Your father, of course. He's the only one you have to fear. Don't let man shake you up. Man is a pretense. Do you know something? I can guarantee you that in my many years of traveling this old earth, one of the biggest bullies in the block, all you've got to do is say, boom! And he's gone. He sold out cheap, all right? People, men are weak. God is strong. Okay. That's when you use common sense and you got something to back up your boo. Okay. All right. Now, use wisdom. Okay. So 29. Listen carefully. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father what's knowledge. Now think about that. You think he doesn't know about you? You think he doesn't hear your prayers? If one, and they're hard, they're worthless practically. You could get 10 of them for an English half penny, I think. The reason he mentioned the sparrow, not only the etymology of the word, the little strewer, you know, you let sparrows alone, they can spoil your crop. Don't think they're a harmless little thing altogether. You get enough of them and they can mess up your garden good. Okay. Little strewers, that's why the name came, you know, the strewers or hoppers or what have you. Okay. But God says, even them, there's not one of them that falls that I don't know about it. And you know, you'll be surprised how many pet owners I get letters from. Well, I see my pet. Well, God knows what happened to your pet, that's for sure. And if you love him, you know that there are animals in heaven, because it's written in Isaiah 11:30, verse 30. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. You think God doesn't know about you? You think you put anything over on him? Yeah, I got a few secrets. No, you don't. He knows all about you. That's why repentance is good for the soul, my friend. Don't try to hold something back from God. And have you ever read Ezekiel 18, verses 3 and 4? You're one of these people that I will get around someday to give it my soul to God. Uh-uh, he's already got it. All right, he's got it locked up. He owns you. Why? He's your father. And it's funny when you hear someone say, are you ready to give your soul to God today? Well, we sure need more teachers. That's all I can say. All right, be that as it may, maybe we... Well, God knows you inside and out. He knows how to take care of you. What this is about is, don't be afraid. Don't be frightened at the times and the events and of the false Messiah. What is he? You have power over him. He's a nothing. And what if they say bad things about you? They did Christ. Are you going to, is that the kind of trooper you are? You're going to wilt the first time a shot is fired? Oh, Lord. Coward dies 1,000 deaths. A brave man dies once. Okay? You don't have, what is God telling us? You don't have anything to be afraid of. He will take care of you. He'll tell you what to say. But when I get excited, I can't think. He's going to think for you. What more could you ask for? If I could ever strengthen your faith in him, whereby you can believe he takes care of his own, even down to a sparrow, what have you got to worry about? And that will cause your love for him to strengthen and multiply and grow until nothing can dent it or ding it. Okay, verse 31. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. What's he talking about? The unforgivable sin. The unpardonable sin. If you know better, and you know when you're delivered up, if you refuse the Holy Spirit to speak through you, this is why you can't have that fear, beloved. I'm telling you. You cannot afford that fear. Your faith must overcome that. Because to disallow the Holy Spirit to speak through you, which is to say the Spirit of your Father, verse 20, It's the unpardonable sin. You don't want any part of that. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Again, for the aforementioned reasons, because of confusion of religion. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. You know, there are families that will stick together through thick and thin. They'll pick each other up. They'll pay each other's bills. They'll help each other out. But Lord help them if they get in a religious squabble. You know, one of them mentions religion. Whoom! The explosion takes place. Don't let that happen in your family, but I'm giving you the, God is giving you here the seedbed of it. Don't talk religion to somebody that doesn't understand God's word. Let it pass and set an example. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. It means love less. You know, if you know what's going down and you know Satan is about to take in your mom and daddy and you haven't got the guts to stand against him, you'd rather, and mama, I will, rather than trying to save them. You don't amount to much. Your insight is very shallow. You do what is best for your family. And you love them that you know when to pull away to a point as it's reaching. If you have that problem, never forget 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning reading with verse 6, with relatives. 38, and he that talketh not, I'm sorry, that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. You know, that gets a lot of people right there. Some people say, I'll wear one on my neck. Now, that's not what he's talking about, friend. Do you know what crosses are for? That's what they crucify people on. You that are not willing to take up the cross to be crucified, it's not going to happen. But he's saying, I want you to be dedicated to me to that strength that you're willing to die for me. Okay? Now, how many would say, well, that frightens me. No, he's just told you you don't have anything to worry about. But he's giving you an analogy of how much trust and faith he wants and will to serve him that you must have. Because you know what? I think the reason he put this here, I'm sure that many people that are so sold, let's say fundamentalists that are really sold on the spurious Messiah rapturing them out, they'll threaten to kill you if you don't shape up. People do funny things. Don't let it frighten you. Don't let it change your mind. All right? I think that's why this was added. So, 39, he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. So, he that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. In other words, if you receive the Son, you also receive the Father. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. I don't know. Do you receive Isaiah? Do you receive Ezekiel? Now, there are some people that get weak-minded, and they run around in this generation claiming to be prophets. If you don't receive me, God will get you. And then say, tell them, say, hey, God knows how to read a phone book. And he knows what my number is regardless. He doesn't need a phone book. God knows how to get in touch with me. And he didn't tell me he was sending you. Okay? And boot them out. All right? Because they're a bunch of hypocrites. Let me say that again. Don't let some knucklehead yo-yo put you on a guilt trip saying, I have a message from you from God. Let me ask you something. Aren't you a child of God? I'm talking about this generation. Aren't you a child of God? Then your Father knows how to get in touch with you. If he has something for you to do, he's told you already, I have foretold you all things. So what am I saying to you? Be very suspicious of one that's on an ego trip and is about to have their bubble pop because it's going to. God will see to it. Okay, but they'll put you on little guilt trips and stuff. 42. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cool water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Do you know what water it's talking about? Oh yeah, we got safe water. We buy, you know, bottled water. That's not what it's talking about. Do you remember the woman at the well, and Jesus approached and said, if you drink of this water, you'll never thirst again? If you have a truth from God's Word, and you share that with someone, that's righteous. That's doing the right thing. If it's accepted, fine. If it isn't, that's fine too. Okay. But we will have people that will write letters even to this ministry claiming to be prophets, and we need a new house trailer. Okay. Our church needs a total new set of pews. Well, you know what my answer is to that? Whew, I'm sorry to hear that. You know, if you had a church long enough that the pews wore out and the church didn't support itself, every keg should sit on its own bottom. Okay, that's God's law. You know, well, they don't deserve any new pews. God blesses those that serve Him. Okay? And beware of prophets, ministries that come to you. Oh, God, if you don't send us $2,000 for 2,000, we're going under. Let that sucker slide. Okay? Let her rip and let her get out of here. Why? God doesn't want it here. Okay? God takes care of His own. And any ministry or person that doesn't believe that is not really a real strong Christian. Did He say, I came to bring peace and I never a sword? No. What is the sword? It's the Word. His Word. And sometimes it cuts. But it will always heal up much better and much stronger when it's all said and done. So, what did He say? Did He say beware of the wolves? Did He say beware of Satan? No, He said beware of men. Okay. Now, let's go to Luke. Have I got time? Yeah, we're going to take time. I won't take but a moment here. I want to get this down real good. Book of Luke, we're going to go to the 12th chapter. Chapter 12, great book of Luke. What does Luke mean in the Greek tongue? It means light giver, okay? So let's hope he gives us some light here. Verse 1, chapter 12, I'm going to start reading. We'll cover this quickly because it's almost a duplicate, but not quite. It gives you a side profile, okay, of what we just read. Verse 1, in the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. You beware of the religious community. Now, if you think I'm anti-Christian, you're mistaken. Okay. I have dedicated my life to Christ. I've taught Christ for 50 years. I've never taken a salary for it. Okay, not one dime salary have I ever taken for teaching God's Word. Why? Well, I made the agreement with Him starting out that I've got two hands where I can work like everybody else and a pretty sharp mind, a business mind, and He's always blessed me where I didn't have to take a salary. That was kind of our agreement. Why? I don't want a bunch of deacons telling me what to teach. Because I'm going to teach what God tells me to teach, or I wouldn't be teaching. Okay. Now, we got elders that can fire me if you think I'm on a loose strain. But they better not. They can, believe me, okay? And it's written, if I should lose my mind, which sometimes we have meetings. But beware of the religious community. Hey, you can hear all kinds of stuff out there. What is your governor or gauge to go by? This, God's Word, the teachings of Christ. Verse 2. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed. That's, there's that word, the revelation, the uncovering. That's why you're supposed to understand the book of Revelation. It means revealed. Apocalypse. Neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which is ye have spoken in the ear and closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetops, which is the place of proclamation. I hope the main thing you talk about is the truth of God's word as you study and are in your prayer closet, okay? For, and I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. Don't be afraid of men and what they can do to you. Be smart, okay? But I will forewarn. Do you know what that word forewarn? And you're warned in advance. You whom you shall fear, fear him or revere him, which after he hath killed hath the power to cast into hell, can cause your soul to perish. Yea, I say unto you, fear him or love God. He's in charge. He's the man. 6. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Not one. So you got a little different profile here, and some say, well, it contradicts. No, it doesn't. There were many different kinds of money that were used and so forth to look into it deeper, which is a subject for another time. 7. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. You are. Why? You're a child of God, and he loves you. And you've got to know that. Do you understand who you are? You're a child of the living God. I mean, de facto, actually. He created your soul because he wanted someone just like you. You have different fingerprints than any living being. Out of 6 billion people, you have your own set. It's just like your mind. Lord, Father, only one. But he wanted one just like you, and that was it, okay? So he's proud of you. He may not be proud of what you're doing, but he loves you. He's the nearest kin you've got, friend. He's your kinsman redeemer. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. Hey, he's proud of you. You do good, the angels applaud you. You believe that? It's true. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. How does that happen? Listen carefully. Here comes the unforgivable sin, and it applies to you. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, that means Christ in the flesh as he walked the earth, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven. Why? That's the Spirit of God. When he wants to speak through you, if you refuse him, it's unforgivable. Why? You know better. Do you find Satan tempting? I find him to be an abomination, the way he has done our people. Take names and kick dragon, I say. Okay. We don't find him tempting. And when they bring you into the synagogues and into magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall say, answer, or what ye shall say. This is where people say, I just wished I could remember better. I wished I could remember scriptures like you, because I know I won't know what to say. You don't have to. He'll remember for you. It won't be you doing the talking. Thank God. Won't be me doing the talking. We'll have the man talking, okay? 12. For the Holy Spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say. Don't turn your back on him, friend. This whole lecture has been to alleviate fear and anxiety. That's what it's about. It's going to happen. That day is coming. The hourglass is tipped. No one knows the hour. Don't anyone go saying, R.L. Murray's predicting the end down here. No, I'm not, okay? But it is going to happen. It's written. Don't be afraid. It's dangerous for you to be afraid because you know the truth. And that truth has set you free from anxiety. Don't be careful of man, but don't be afraid of them. Be smarter than... are we supposed to love men, but by the grace of God, there go I. Okay? You were sent to lead, to set an example, to help who you could. They're our brethren. We love them all. Whomsoever will accept Christ. Okay? But... everything in God's time and place. Okay? That takes a little wisdom too. But God loves you, and I hope He loves what you're doing. I know He doesn't. We all fall short and we all mess up occasionally. Repent and get it straight. Get it right. Get with the Word and love Him. Don't worry what men say about you. You know, I suppose... popularity is so high in some people's books. They just love to be popular. Say anything they want to say to be popular. Don't ever fall into that trap. Be popular and please God. And hope it pleases people, because I guarantee you it will please the people that you need. And those that does not please, those that the truth does not please, you don't want anything to do with them anyway at the moment. You keep setting the example. Some of them are going to see and hear and be converted. That's what it's about. But don't fear. You don't have anything to be afraid of. Your father, your nearest kin is all powerful. And if a little old sparrow is in danger, don't you think he knows you are? Of course he does. And he will take care of you, and you must have that faith. Always use common sense and know that he is in control. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for the privilege of studying your word, of being your servants, Father. Use these to thy honor and glory, and we give you all that glory in Yeshua's precious name. Amen.
To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you. Second book of Moses, called Exodus. This fantastic book of the law witnesses God keeping his promise to Abraham that he would deliver Israel out of the Egyptian captivity, the type established by God delivering